A little side note. One of the most historic approaches to Christian worship is not the penitential this. It's Thanksgiving. And it is all over our worship service, thanking God for the grace in Jesus Christ. In worship, there's much Thanksgiving that goes on. Think about some of the prayers. It's always a thanking God for his great mercies and compassion. Let's take the parts of the liturgy that we sing on a regular basis, right? The Gloria, or this is the feast, the offertory, the preface, the post-communion canticle, which always reminds me of like a beer hall tune, depending on which setting you do. All these things focus us on thanksgiving to God through Jesus Christ. Like, her approach gets worship. She worshiped Jesus with her life, and we even can be reminded of her approach when you come to worship, when you give thanks to God for all his rich graces that he bestows on us freely through Jesus Christ. That's my little side note. I mean, think of her when you come to worship, because Jesus wants you to remember her first and foremost anyways. So that's her. Her eyes were on Jesus, and she got it right. And she just came to Jesus as she was, and she did what she thought was right. And boom, there we go. Now, there was the other eyes in this group, and that was the crowd that was around Jesus, and they misjudged just about everything in this scenario. So imagine you're in this group now, and you saw this woman come up with this ointment. She does that crazy, she breaks the jar for no good reason, and you see her pour out the stuff, you smell it, right? You get the whole thing going on here, and you say to yourself, look at this woman. She could have given all that money to the poor. She could have done so much good. Oh my gosh, her piety is not as good as mine, right? She's not pure. Like, she doesn't have right motives like we have. But they misjudged the situation because they misjudged Jesus. That outrage over this woman was that she was wasteful with what she was given. That was their problem. And how does Jesus respond to the group when they misjudge the whole scenario? They said, what's wrong with you? This woman, she's doing a great thing. She judged right and you judged wrong. See, they did not understand that what his messiahship was all about was going to the cross to completely redeem everyone in that room as a free gift, to be the suffering servant who comes and redeems Israel out of his own life so they could see that Passover lamb, that once and for all sacrifice that was going to renew Israel and all of creation to bring more people into the family. St. Jerome talks about this. He's a church father. He says, just as the grain of wheat, unless it falls into the ground and dies, does not bring forth any fruit, so also, unless the alabaster jar be broken, we cannot spread its fragrance. Really love his image when he takes on this story, right? He talks about using that alabaster jar as that broken fragrance of his sacrifice. But that fragrance gives life, and it fills your nostrils with that good scent of salvation. I just love that picture of what Jesus came to do. This woman judged right, her eyes were right, and everyone else misjudged the situation. Misjudging eyes, the religious leaders missed the point, the crowd missed the point. And I was thinking about this. We had an interesting situation a while ago over at Shepherd. There was one man one morning, his name is Nathan, it stuck with me. That's my dad's name, that's probably why. But one morning I was coming to church early and he was sleeping on our doorstep. And so woke him up and let him use the bathroom, give him some coffee, talked to him for a little bit. And he was he's sort of couch surfing on a friend's house up in the hills just behind the church. And so I've got to know him and he was kind of wandering around from time to time. Get to talk to him more. He has mental illness, I mean his own words. And so he's trying to deal with it. But as we talked about life and what he believes, he says he's a Hare Krishna follower, and that's his preferred religious path. But I've got to share the gospel of Jesus with him as we've talked, and so it's been pretty fun. I've encouraged him to come to some Bible studies. He didn't really come to anything. And so one Sunday morning, we were going through Luke. We weren't going to finish it before starting the new church calendar, and so I figured, well, let's just end it and we'll get into Matthew. And so we wanted to end with just reading the passion narrative in Luke as a group and just kind of read it together as like a wrap-up. So, like I said, he's never come to church. He didn't come before this moment, and he hasn't come back since. So we're group reading through the passion story, where it's all about God's love and the sacrifice of Jesus. And this is the one Sunday he shows up for Bible study. So it's just the group reading through this. He's in the group. He comes in late, and everyone kind of sees it, but he doesn't look in place, doesn't look right. And he gets up when it was part of the text with his actual crucifixion, and he stands up, and he reads it to us. That was unusual. Like, he's never attended before. I knew his background. Like, he believes in Hare Krishna. And he's there in my church. And he wants to read the passion story of Jesus to me and to other people. And at first it made people a little weirded out just because, you know, he's a stranger. But in the end, he proclaimed Christ crucified and Christ risen to us in that Bible study. Like, not the most expected scenario, not the, you know, it wouldn't be like the acceptable version of how these things were done, right? And here he is proclaiming the death and resurrection of Jesus to us. I think that's a kind of, not the same scenario as this woman, but a similar scenario. Popular piety wouldn't have it. But God doesn't use what we believe. He doesn't use our misjudging eyes. He has his plan to bring about his kingdom in our backyard, and he uses the usual and unusual scenarios to do that. The most important thing about this woman and Nathan is that they proclaimed the power of God in Jesus Christ to care for people in our lives with the message of Jesus Christ. Misjudging eyes would have not accepted Nathan or this woman and doing these things, but eyes that are open and eyes that are perceiving the kingdom would rejoice at the unexpected reality that God was letting happen or orchestrating at that moment. May we be open and judge rightly the people God is bringing into our churches to spread the message of redemption here in our backyard. May you wash yourself the grace of God so that you can see the new life that Jesus is bringing about here. May we embrace the spirit of that woman who anointed Jesus. May we share the Father's love through Jesus Christ and experience the gracious aroma of love poured out however God is bringing this about. May we break the alabaster jar of God's love over all people and receive the outpouring of God's love in the unexpected ones God brings into our church and into our families. May we see others as Jesus sees us. Amen.